Greetings from Earth, and welcome to the Creative Cosmos. I'm your host, Christopher Moores. Broadcasting live from beautiful Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Hello, everybody, from snowy tonight, Minneapolis. Beautiful night to be indoors and speaking with you on the radio, tuning into cyberspace, and letting our astral bodies flow freely for a while. It's my pleasure tonight to have a couple friends as guests, friends who will provide insight into what's happening in the world today, both spiritually and socially, and we'll give you the perspective of someone who is going through the process of transcending. They have become aware of the situation being much more magnificent than they were first told, and they would like to share their insights with you tonight. And the names of the guests, my friends, Amy Butson and Pete Van Vliet, and they're here with me right now. They'd like to say hello.
Well, hey, Chris, thanks for having us here tonight. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, go ahead, Pete.
Definitely, Chris. Thank you very much.
Well, it's my pleasure, and this is a big part of the blog and service mission, is to include people and to communicate and to reach out and for all of us to share our experiences, to get the information out that people need to know to make conscious choices and to take their lives to the next level. So, and we thank Don for every show and all his work, and he's very gracious and seems to be tireless. He keeps at it, and we thank him for that.
And he's got that great laugh.
Warms your heart.
It does.
Yeah, just talking to Don, you look forward to hearing the phone ring and feel good afterwards. So, yeah, the toll-free number, if you'd like to join in our roundtable discussion tonight, is 1-888-268-4313, and it is toll-free, and we'd love to hear from you and share the conversation. I'll have to mediate, only I could hear the call, but I could pass along the question if you have some for our guests. Again, the number is 1-888-268-4313. And one thing I wanted to do tonight is have Amy and Pete kind of share with you their vision of the creative cosmos from someone who's been around me and who's been around the work and has shared in supporting me and helping me develop it, and having participated and had it have an effect on their lives. I thought it would be interesting to have them describe some of their feelings about it, and so that you can see it from not just my point of view, but the idea itself. So I'm going to turn it over to Pete Van Vliet and have him give us a couple thoughts about what he's doing spiritually, and how the creative cosmos helped him get the ball rolling.
Thank you, Chris. Pleasure to be with all you tonight. And I really feel like my journey has, I would say, just recently started, you know, within the last year. Just some amazing coincidences happening. Reading some books that just happened to pop along the way in front of me for me to read at the right opportunity in time. And I really feel like friendship with Chris and Amy here has blossomed. And I can't thank them enough for guiding me in the direction that I'm going right now. Not necessarily guiding me, but just helping me in a certain way of being aware. And I've always felt fairly special in a way, and then it has been submerged by middle years of being bombarded by media and various other just people's spirits combining, trying to take advantage of yours. And I feel now as though I'm back on the right path of truth. One thing that I think has helped our friendship blossom so well is that I definitely feel like I hear the truth from them at all times, in a weird sort of way of just knowing that it is the truth. And once again, I can't thank them enough, and at this time I'll hand it over to Amy to just kind of expand on that a little bit.
Cool.
Thank you. Thank you, Pete.
Yeah, thanks, Pete. Well, as far as the Creative Cosmos goes, Creative Cosmos came into my life about a little over 4 years ago, when I started hanging out with Chris quite a bit. And at that time, I was going through some tough times. I had depression, and I had physical illnesses, and was just really struggling with who I was and what I wanted to do with my life. And, you know, having physical symptoms, but not being able to uncover the cause of them. And working with Chris, he really helped me get to the root of things and get to the core of the matter and stop looking for physical causes, but rather look inside myself and see who I am and who I had become and what I had lost along the way, and took a lot of time deconstructing myself, which is a pretty, I think, important point to the Creative Cosmos, that you have to first deconstruct yourself and look at how you make decisions and how you're moving through life and what you're putting out there and sharing with other people, and strip it down, strip down all the habits that were learned and passed on, and get a fresh perspective or a new look at things. And when coming into a situation, stopping yourself, reevaluating, looking, and then making a conscious and aware decision in the present. And, you know, which basically boils down to learning to live in the present. And that has helped me in so many ways, because after I had deconstructed and started making decisions in the present, I started realizing who I was, who I wanted to be, what I wanted to do. And I could then rebuild myself with my own ideals and then take that. And, you know, this took place over years and years for me, over, you know, past 4 years or so. And, you know, in rebuilding and reshaping my life and my relationships with other people and being more and more myself, and in being more myself, being able to share those thoughts and ideas with others in an open and honest way and pass along what I learned to them.
Yeah, that's a wow, thanks. That's a great introduction to the concept of spirit warrior and what it is to be a spirit warrior. And, you know, the essential truth of existence hasn't changed. In the forms of society change, and the technology changes, and the chemical influences in a variety of ways changes, but the truth of life behind it is what it always has been. And the particular challenge today is to live that truth day to day in a world that is not necessarily conducive to facilitating peace and harmony within. So being the spirit warrior is taking responsibility for every moment, just like how you described.
Exactly.
Cool. Yeah, the breakthrough to get to that point, how we make that mission our own. I'd like to ask Pete and Amy also, the goal of the creative cosmos is not to give you anything more. You've had enough. So it's to help clean the slate. So first, we address those things which might be habit-causing or harmful in the psyche. And then we address higher spiritual principles in a variety of ways to help you see it, to reveal it, but then once it's revealed, it is no more ours than it is yours. It is all of ours. And the idea is to help you see the beauty that already is by kind of disguising it in many different packages and again, making it new and presenting it in a lustrous way. So I'll again turn it over to Pete for a moment, and I'd like him to speak about how he first realized that something was different, or what stirred his slumber or got him thinking in this new way that he's now seen takes root in your life and brings much fruit. Pete.
Well, I would have to say, over probably about a year ago, I started to just be interested more in how my mind was thinking and how certain ways, habits of thinking were bringing me down. And it started with just basically trying to seek out ways of being happy. And then I think coincidence upon coincidence, not many in between there, led me to Chris and Amy here that I've spoke about. And I think through that has opened up more doors as far as just leading me more and more on an adventure toward being a spirit warrior and realizing that truth needs to be spread, as well as just open up, like they've opened up my doors, open up for many others. Is the goal mainly behind the spirit warrior, I believe, is to get that message out.
Yeah, both in words and by your living example, how we live our lives every day.
I think this is a great time, too, to mention that quote by Osho that says, anything can be comprehended instantly in a matter of, it's almost as if we already know it. Well, you hear it, and it can just open the doors instantly. It doesn't take years and years in a lot of instances. It may in others, but...
Yeah, Osho always did say that he'd always be like, you could awake right now. There's nothing preventing you. And we just kind of prevent ourselves by holding on to the past. How about you, Amy?
Well, for me, you know, it started when I was really young that I always had this feeling inside that I had some higher purpose to my life, and I didn't know what it was, and I felt it calling me. It was a feeling like in my stomach almost. I think that might be like the third chakra where I felt it. And, you know, and I didn't have a vocabulary for that at the time. I just knew that I felt this very strongly inside. And, in sixth grade, I was led to a book, which I read, which just, you know, opened my mind to new ideas. And like Pete said, where you can just take in the truth and you instantly recognize it. It resonates with you. And this book for me, Jonathan Livingston Seagull, at that age, mm-hmm. really made me think, wow, there really is something else. Like, I always knew there was, but no one talks about it. And, you know, that was my first experience. And so I kind of went on with my life and got interested in Zen and Eastern philosophies, did a lot of reading, you know, and still through all my life had that feeling inside and really struggled with all the pressures put on me to, you know, pick a career, get a job, do, you know, the regular 9-to-5. And I struggled with it because I'm fairly free-flowing and creative, and it's hard to be in that structure. And I started down a path that wasn't necessarily what I wanted to be doing, but there were so many forces at work on me pushing me in that direction that, you know, I gave in and I went with it. And luckily for me, I became a teacher, a high school teacher. And even though I struggled with it, you know, as I became more and more awake, I realized that I have this fabulous opportunity where I have these high school kids in front of me every day. And, you know, where I didn't have people showing me the way or telling me the truth, I could start opening some of these doors for them and just, you know, not forcing anything on them, but just trying to open their minds to think about things in a new way, or just letting them know that there are other things out there and all they have to do is open to it.
Definitely. Yeah, and this goes along too well with the idea the three of us were talking about last night while we were discussing things we might share with you on the show, but just kind of children's rights in general about treating them well, speaking to them with respect. You know, I know myself as an educator, I've seen in many places where teachers just for some reason feel like they have a right to talk down to kids as if they don't even recognize the humanity or the worth or how much harm they do. And the problem is that they somehow think it's justified. The auspices of the job and their identification with their personality working in that job binds them into this false thinking that they have a right to treat other people with disrespect. And it creates a reaction amongst the kids where they somehow believe that older people are against it, against them. It's like the first conspiracy, the adults, and the kids.
I think the kids definitely start off with the knowledge of that we carry right here, that we are talking about. You start off on the right track of being there and understanding that at that moment in time, and then over time I think it does get submerged in a way just by the culture, and like Chris was talking about, people talking down to you, you know, you lose that creativity, you lose certain aspects of who you are.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that education is changing, the state of public schools is changing, and that, you know, my parents were absolutely respectful to their teachers, you know, and when I was in high school, you know, kids were, you know, fairly respectful to teachers, and nowadays it's getting more and more out of hand, and it's that talking down to kids is not going to work. Kids aren't going to stand for that, and they won't be held down by those forces that they are more and more demanding to be heard as human beings. And all we do is, you know, open up and respect them and accept them and acknowledge them as human beings. If when I do that for my kids, they reciprocate, and suddenly they treat me not like some big authority figure teacher, but as someone they know, someone they like, someone they respect, and then we can have exchange and interchange. It's never me telling them how things are. It is, for the most part, a conversation, one that I'll guide as the teacher. I'll guide the conversation, but it's definitely a two-way thing.
Yeah, I mean, you can't just say, use the argument because I said so. While you were saying that, it made me think of two different kinds of authority. There's authority just kind of like a aggressive kind of forcing, kind of which is kind of a negative association with the authority. But then there is a pure authority, which is that you demonstrate through living the truth and being honest and conveying confidence and self-assuredness in a graceful and friendly manner, that gives you authority. That's the authority the kids are looking for, not I tell you to do this and I tell you to do this and I tell you to do this, because that immediately sets you up for failure. If you do a wrong thing, set it up for failure by going against nature, how can it be that you then turn around and punish the kid for that very thing? It isn't that you don't draw lines or have some kind of guidelines, but you explain to them exactly why you have those guidelines when they come up. You just say, hey, you know, this is not the best thing for you, and you explain why. You don't force.
Yeah, why? That's the big thing.
Yeah, and they have a right to know why. So we're going to just have one more reading here by Pete. On the way, he's collected many inspirational phrases that he wanted to share, at least a few with you. And so we're going to hear one more of those before we get into the song that Amy and I, we redid. We created in the past, but we revamped her for you today. So we'll get to that in a minute. But first, let's hear one more reading by Pete.
Well, as an Aquarian, Chris, a lot of the Aquarian age concepts really seem to hit me, and I believe that's a lot of what we're talking about at Creative Cosmos, is Transcendence 2012 is part of that Aquarian age. And one thing that really hit me the other day was something I read, that we all need to live and let live, to be yourself and realize that others need to be themselves. The first step toward comprehending love is ultimate meaning. The first step toward comprehending love's ultimate meaning is finally finding absolute fulfillment and being tolerant to the enlightenment of the sun sign qualities that each of us comes from. And I think that's basically my motto, is to live and let live.
And who wrote that one?
It came from a book called Love Signs. And the author I'm kind of blanking on, but it was out of the late 70s.
Did you say Goodman earlier or something?
Yeah,
like that?
Miss Goodman, I know was her last name.
Yeah. I'm sure those of you out there familiar with that material know what he's talking about. Yeah, I like the idea in there of you have to allow for the enlightenment of others. You can't try to hold people into place. You know, we're changing. We need to be changing. And change is good and means we're in line with life and that we're growing and we're heading somewhere. It's a beautiful thing.
Yes, it is.
So now is a good time to capture the spirit of the moment. Hot off the presses today, song by myself and Amy Butson called Come Along With Me.
You live, you die, you laugh, you cry, open up, resonate your heart. One day you'll know it, one day you'll show it, look around,
all know we're gonna die before it's time. Reach out your hand. Come along and be near it. Come along, join the spirit. Come along.
Hello, everybody. Hope you enjoyed the tune. We enjoyed making it for you. There's nothing like the freedom that creativity provides, where you can just, when I see an empty canvas or I'm just about ready to record something new, I just feel such an anticipation and such a, you could do absolutely anything at all. There's no question of a block. It's a sheer extravagance when you don't hold back and you don't second guess and you don't doubt and you give yourself enough respect and luxury to feel like you deserve the time to express yourself. And then it becomes addictive with creation, and then you stand behind it, and next thing you know, you're powerfully manifesting in the world, and you're sending ripples out all around you, and everybody's getting more and more insights and revelations and tuning into the universe, and it's tremendously beautiful to see.
I agree. It definitely is.
Yeah, I second that.
So we could take that creativity theme and go back to we were talking about before the break there, we were talking about kids and education and treating them with respect, and I'd like to talk about the role of creativity and how that needs to play a bigger role in many kids' lives. You guys have anything to say about that?
I definitely think it's a huge thing that, it's more than school can teach anyone. It's creativity. It's basically music, art combined, just being allowed to express yourself in any way that you feel needed, really. And any submergence of creativity at all is a sin big time. And I just would pray that all can see that, that creativity is just at the root of it all, of what we're speaking about, basically, is one of the biggest breakthroughs you can have is to not have that submerged and be as creative as can be at all times.
Yeah, I'll add a little to that. Just from my own experience, I was lucky enough when I was growing up and I was in school, I did a lot of music and art and was able to spend quite a lot of my day doing that sort of thing. And it just makes me think about where I teach now and, other schools like mine in the area where music is being cut, as budgets are cut, art is being cut. And I think about my classroom and I think about my students and, the classroom, yeah, it's got my name on it, but it's just as much their room as it is mine, and it's a place that facilitates creativity. It's a place where they can come and their minds can be open and free and have free expression, and they can learn about trying things and opening up and taking a risk and going for it. And my hope is then that translates to other aspects of their life, you know, other ways, not just through music, but that they learn the concept, the idea behind it, and then they take that openness and translate it themselves. And I know that they love being there because of that freedom, but it also has to do, like what Chris was saying, with respect and teaching them to have self-respect and allow themselves to be open and free.
Yeah, if they respect themselves, they'll respect the teacher.
That's right.
Yeah, I had another thought, too, that creativity is not just like sitting down and painting a picture or playing an instrument, although that's a fine expression of it. But creativity is kind of being, to me, the creative spirit and the Holy Spirit are one and the same. And creativity can be an attitude towards life. It's not just you do this, and you have these talents or skills, or you enjoy doing this. It's just an attitude, a way of looking at life. Anybody who knows me knows that even in public, I might burst out in a song or skip around a little bit. And somebody gives me a funny look and I smile at them, hey, you never know, they might smile and they might be transformed, and maybe someday they'll do a little skip too. And that attitude is contagious, and you see what you want to see in life.
You could basically add creativity to anything, and it's based. And what Amy has spoken about before, just being present too, as far as creativity goes, that just adding creativity to everything you do will help you be more present at all times.
Yeah, and also the idea that things aren't stagnant, you know, that we're changing, we're evolving, and when you are open and creative, you are experiencing the evolution and then sharing it and expressing it through, you know, whether it's through art or through music. And for whatever reason, I thought of Einstein and math and science and physics, you know, that it's not just rules, but you have to open your mind to see things, see the pattern, and allow it to be revealed to you. And you get there through creativity.
Yeah, I know Einstein liked to listen to Mozart, and I believe he credited art with giving him the space to have new realizations that were outside of his previous set of parameters. You know, it's a universal understanding if it's something new, if it's something that you didn't know before but suddenly do now. Even as, like Pete said earlier, the Osho quote of understanding can be instantaneous. And that's really a huge aspect of Zen. If you're listening, you no doubt see that in the creative cosmos, we're very Zen-like. That's the Eastern philosophy is a huge part. And we also bring in the Western art culture and try to unify them in a living, breathing mission that both embodies the best of the past. It's fully in the present, thereby creating the future that is in accord with universal law and truth as we feel it inside ourselves. And again, one more time, I'll give you the number if you'd like to join in. 1-888-268-4313. Again, 1-888-268-4313. Give us a call if you want to join in or ask our guests a question or ask me a question or anything at all, anytime at all, we're on the air. And yeah, so the name of our show was not just Spirit Warriors, it was Generation X Spirit Warriors. So now we're going to, all three of us here are hardcore Gen Xers, and I've noticed over time just aspects of that seem to be a little different from our friends, the baby boomers. And I think it's something that needs to be talked about, because I think I've often discussed this with with a friend of mine, artist in Chicago, Paul Hartsaw, philosopher, and we just consider that we kind of saw this craziness come in, and we had time to. We were educated as well, and we were able to sort through a lot, and we could see things from a very unique perspective, and pretty much Generation X people are very friendly to one another. They're very inclusive, they're very open-minded, they're educated, articulate. They just don't happen to be in charge of things right now. But, we are... It's time for ideas to come forward, for new revelations and pathways to guide us in more enlightened directions. And, you know, this path can... There have been times in history where this path has been kind of rediscovered and they've tried to make it happen again. You know, like the Renaissance, they had a taste of the divine bubble up there for a few, and then the European Enlightenment philosophies of the 1700s, and many masters, gurus, and spiritual beings across the land have reinvented the wheel, so to speak, again and again to meet the people of the time and get them to get the message of the truth in a way they can understand. I mean, when we read something 1,000 years old, we're completely out of context. We have no idea what they meant. We can kind of guess, or maybe if it's a good text, we can glean a bit of the meaning. But we respond better to that which is put in our language and is meant for our mind. So I will open up the room for the Generation Xers that are here with me. See if they have anything to say about what it is to be Gen X in this world as a spirit warrior.
Well, one thing that came to mind as you were talking was when you had mentioned the baby boomers. One sort of thing that I think of is that the baby boomers seem to have like a very limited perspective on things, and that they see things from a certain perspective.
Yeah, generally speaking, like,
well, yeah,
not everybody, but
yeah,
some people.
But we're speaking generally.
Yeah, we're
here.
Speaking generally, definitely.
And you know, as a Gen Xer, I guess. I feel like one of the most important things, both to learn myself and to pass on, is being able to see yourself outside of yourself, and being able to see things from a different perspective, from an outside perspective, not from any one point of view, but it's the transcendence, the overseeing. And I think when we're able to do that, we see more on the grand scale, the implications of our actions, and that as we become aware of that, then we are able to facilitate change. Are you nodding there?
Yeah, I agree, definitely.
Yeah, the key point I got out of that was just talking about that seeing yourself outside of yourself. I think many of the Gen Xers have come into that and realized that and made it their own. And it creates kind of a weird situation because some of the older generation, they don't even accept that as a possibility. They're really focused in, you know, again, with the generally speaking, there's a whole almost creed of, you know, the 401ks and the SUVs and whatnot. You know, there's like a whole almost like a dogma of dollars, where they kind of put money too important in their life as too much of a center. And I think it's going to be up to Generation X to put love into the center.
Definitely, and to spread it on to the younger generations too, as the baby boomers obviously haven't done in generally terms again. But, you know, haven't led us on a path that, you know, we've kind of had to develop this for ourselves and then it will be up to us to spread it on to future generations.
Yeah, and I think also, like, you know, that they put us on this path, and then I felt like I was taught that that's the path we're on, that's the path we go down, and that's how it is. And as a Gen Xer, what I believe and what I'd like to pass on is that it isn't fixed. The path isn't fixed, that it is changing, and that as we change, it will change. And being open to that.
Live and let live.
You're here.
That's a huge thing, that change, that you can't just believe in your little, just whatever. You can't create a small world around yourself and just try to hold it there. That's one of the great illusions of security, is that if you're alive, you'll never be fully secure. I mean, that's one of the lessons of Zen. I mean, that's, if anything, goes right to the heart of it. You'll never be secure. To be secure is to be dead. To be free, you have to take risks.
Yeah, I think that was one of my breakthrough moments when you got that through to me. I remember one day you saying that to me, that there is no security, that it's an illusion. And it really shook me up that day, which was, you know, really good, because it got me to see that things are changing, that it's the nature of things to change, that we can't hold it still, and that to hold it still is to crush it.
Yeah, exactly. So, interested in reading another phrase for us, Pete?
Well, it just hit me a second ago when I heard you mention that, you know, we have to spread the message through love is kind of the Gen X way of doing it. And love is an amazing thing. I think that first and foremost, people need to understand that love is more than an emotion or a feeling. It's actually an electrical impulse that, used at the right moments and times, is capable of energizing wishes into reality instantly.
Wow.
Yeah, that's intention, right? That you, that's kind of the magic of the universe. If you can crystallize an idea, then it will come true.
Definitely, I think, and you know, it's capable for anybody. Anybody can comprehend that. I think, like I just said, though, I just need to understand it's more than an emotion.
Yeah, that's a huge thing I've encountered in working with people, is that people get love confused with emotions sometimes, and then it gets all convoluted, and they have many different pieces in, and they even battle with each other, and so love seems painful, but it's only because of a wrong definition. Love is not focusing on another and just being attached to the other and needing to be around them. It's more of it's a giving, it's a freeing, it's not a holding on in any kind of a way. Love enables, as we even mentioned earlier, enables enlightenment, or enables, it awakens something in you, it lifts you up, it makes more possible. If you know somebody accepts you for who you are, it helps you to be the person you're meant to be.
It's an amazing power.
Acceptance and understanding. More of the Gen X way.
Spirit warriors.
Yeah. Yeah, we got a couple more minutes. I'll give you the number one more time in case you got anything to say as we head into the final stretch, final segment of the show. Again, it's 1-888-268-4313. 1-888-268-4313. So as we wrap things up here, or go into this last segment, I'd like to just bring up the idea of how do we share this idea with others. I mean, obviously we're doing it right now and talking about it, and I'd like to hear some more thoughts about ways to reach out to both people of our generation or to help some of the older people who are not as so open to hearing, but still you could, they're human beings, they're alive, anything's possible. You know, we speak it generally, but each individual, anything's possible anytime. And there have been many in the older generation that have helped me become more aware and have shared truth with me, and it exists everywhere dotted across the world, and it is growing from one person to another, to another, to another. These waves of consciousness and waves of truth are going out across the land, and we're a part of that. So how do we get the message out? Both we have the youth, and we have people of our own age who we have to help empower to take leadership roles. And then we have the older people who are stuck in kind of old habits. We have kind of a number of things to consider in that regard.
Well, one thing I thought about while you were talking is just recognizing everyone's humanity. And when I grew up, I was taught certain rules for social interaction of how you speak to an adult, the types of things you say, the things you don't say. And I think these rules need to just go out the window. And if you are open to people, when you approach them and approach them with openness and allow them to be who they are, you'd be surprised at the things that they'll say or how they'll open to you. Also, you know, the thing I do as a teacher at the high school is I just lead by example. I am who I am. I'm the same person with them as I am at home. I treat them just like I treat any other human.
Get rid of the roles and the faces that change based on the expectations of others.
Yeah, that's right. And just being yourself. And they see that. The kids see that. And they know that you're different. And they sense it right away that I'm not holding them down or I'm not making them be a certain way, that they get to be who they are from the minute they walk in my room. They just get to be them. And that alone inspires them and opens them up and makes them want to share that with their friends.
Little oasis.
That's right.
In the okay educational system here.
I think, too, to add to that, just not to be afraid of comprehending anything, you know, not to have limitations on what you believe is real and what you believe is not real, just to believe anything is possible and to always speak the truth. The more you speak the truth to others, the more truth will be spoke to you. I believe it's an amazing power, too. It's truth. It just helps you to comprehend amazing things just when you speak the truth to anybody. As far as that goes for kids too, that's part of what we were talking about. As far as kids need to hear the truth at all times, every question, in order for them to grow.
And then that gives you the authority with the kid, the kind of authority I was talking about earlier. It's almost impossible to lie to someone who's telling the truth. The kid will know that you told them the truth, and they don't want to lie. That's the point. It's almost like they're forced to lie sometimes.
Yeah, and it's not judging them, being able to listen to them without judgment. And the first time a student sees someone else tell me the truth and they see me not judge them and they see me accept them, then I see it in their eyes. They change and they think, wow, I can tell the truth here. And it's okay. You know, reserving that judgment. And the other thing is, I think...
That's big, yeah.
Yeah. Being able to reach out. And this is something that Pete taught me. Actually, I was talking about this with him the other day, that when I met Pete for the first time, he was genuinely friendly. And I remember getting up to leave, and he you know, said, hey, this is really nice meeting you. I hope to see you again. And I knew he meant it. I just, you can feel it when someone is speaking the truth. And being able to be open to other people and honest and accepting and loving, that makes it for them to be able to give that back.
Oh, thank you, Amy.
Hey.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, you got any closing thoughts, Pete?
I just definitely want to thank all those that are out there listening and just be open to anything, definitely. Just Chris is doing something amazing here with Creative Cosmos, and I feel like it's definitely a start of something great on the horizon. And just our friendship alone, too, is I think that groups I can see in the future forming is gaining knowledge here in large quantities of people.
Yeah, and we each make it our own mission. That's essentially what being a spirit warrior is when you recognize the truth, you adopt a truthful manner and you live that way, and you don't allow all the reasons or excuses or justifications or situations to wear you down. It isn't easy to live the truth, and scares people, and it puts you in really crazy circumstances sometimes. But you have to stay on your ground and do your best to explain it. Explain what you're doing. Hey, this is what it sounds like when somebody tells the truth. It is as simple as that. And after a while, you know, people will get used to it, or, you know, they'll go their own way. So it's been an awesome show having Amy and Pete here, and sure we'll hear from them again someday in various forms, and would like to thank them and thank Don as always, and thank the other hosts. I've been enjoying your shows lately. We all have been tuning in and checking them out, and even called a couple of them, and it's just a lot of fun, so I encourage everyone to get involved and have a good time with it, and continue to grow. We'll close tonight with a tune that reminds us of the journey we've talked about tonight, the journey that goes on every moment of our lives. Here we have the song by me, Traveling to Tibet.